Today's shiur is a Masechta Bava Basra on Daf Tzadik Dalet. We will begin with the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Throughout Bava Metzia and Bava Basra, we have seen two problems that can occur when a moicher sells something to a lekeach. The first is the din of oinah, where there is something wrong with the price. Either too much was paid or too little was paid. And in the din of oinah, there are three halachas. If the underpayment or overpayment was more than a shtus, a sixth, then the mecher is batel. The entire mekach, the sale is batel. And the money must be returned, and the merchandise must be returned. If it is less than a shtus, the mekach is kayim, it is valid, and the mocher or the lokeach is mochel that overpayment or underpayment. And finally, if it is exactly a shtus, then the halach is the mekach is kayim, except the oinah, the amount of overpayment or underpayment, must be returned. The second problem that we have encountered between a mocher and a lokeach is when the item that was supposed to be received by lekeach was not received. For example, the moicher said to the lekeach that he is selling him a barrel of wine, and instead, the lekeach received a barrel of wine vinegar. And that is, of course, considered a mekach tos, and there is absolutely no valid sale in this transaction. What our Mishnah will be discussing is a third problem that one would encounter in a sale. The merchandise is what was portrayed. The lekeach is receiving what the moicher told him. There's no problem with the merchandise. There is no problem with the price. The exact market price is being paid from the lekeach to the mocher. The issue at hand is a taruvus, a mixture of items of, as the Mishnah calls it, tenoifos, impurities in the product. The lokeach is not receiving 100% of the item that he wants to purchase from the mocher. And the question is, how much is considered an acceptable taruvus of, for example, if we're speaking about grain, which will be the first example of our Mishnah, and there is very shchiach to be mixed into grain, wheat, barley, etc. There is kidneys, there's legumes, beans that are mixed in, there's sand, there's pebbles, and a normal amount is acceptable by the lekeach. He doesn't expect to receive 100% pure grain from the mocher. The question is, what is the amount that's considered acceptable, and what is the amount that is considered unacceptable? This is what our Mishnah will discuss, and this is the third type of problem that one can encounter when one purchases something from a mocher. Begins the Mishnah. And this hakdama was given by the Meiri, and before we start the actual words of the Mishnah, we should point out the halacha in Choshe Mishpat Simen Reish Chav Tes Sif Beis, which is based on the Rif and the Rambam's interpretation of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is going to give us set amounts of acceptable mixtures of impurities, but this Mishnah will only apply to a makom that has no minik. If it has no custom of its own, then it will follow the custom of our Mishnah. However, the Rif and the Rambam, and so passes the Shulchan Aruch there in Choshe Mishpat, they all say that if a particular locale has its own minik, for example, that the lokeach expects to get 100% pure grain without any impurities, or perhaps the acceptable amount of taruvus, of tenoifus, of the impurities, is more than what's going to be written in our Mishnah. So again, according to the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, Our mission is only when there is no custom. But if there is a prevailing local custom, of course, that minig will prevail, even if it's different than our mission. Begins the Mishnah. If somebody sells fruits to his friend, and the Rashbam is quick to point out that we're not speaking here necessarily about apples and oranges, that type of fruit, but rather we're referring to grain. Harezem akabel olav delekech, accepts upon himself, roiva to neifes lasa, a rova, a quarter of a kav of impurities to one saw. What happens if there is more than a roiva? So then the halacha is that the mocher has to make up whatever amount of impurity there is, and he can't say to the lekeach, well, a quarter of a kav you've already accepted. I only have to reimburse you with more than a quarter of a kav. No. The halacha, as we'll see in the Gemara, is that once there is mixed into the grain more than a roiva kav of impurities to a saw, then the moicher has to reimburse the lekech the full amount of impurities. Either he has to give him grain, or he has to refund money for the amount of impurity. And the Gemara will have a discussion whether this is me'ikara din, or whether this is only a knas midrabbanan. We'll see more about that on Tzadik Dalid Amid Aleph. Continues the Mishnah. Te'enim, if he sells his friend figs, mekabel olav eser mitulois lameya. The lekech accepts upon himself a ratio of 10 to 100. The Rashbam says, hu adin, 1 to 10. There will, amongst 10 te'enim, 10 figs, he can expect to find one that has a worm in it. If there's 100, then he can expect a ratio of 10%. He will find 10 figs that have worms, and that's an acceptable amount. Martev Shoyayin, if he purchased a cellar which is full of barrels of wine, Mekabel Olav, the Lekeach accepts Eser Kaisos Lameya. The Rashbam says Kaisos means Yayin Ra. There are 10 barrels of wine that is not good amongst 100 barrels. This is acceptable. Kankanim b'Sharon, in the Medina, in the district of Sharon, if one purchased kegs, Mekabel Olav, Eser Pitzos Lameya, he accepts 10 bad kegs for every 100. There will be a defect in 10 of those 100 kegs, and that's an acceptable amount. Begins the Gemara to explain the first halach of our Mishnah, Hamoich Peres Chaveret, Harezem Mekabel Olav Roiva Tenoifes Lasa, Tani Rav Ketina, Rav Ketina taught in Ebraisa, Roiva Kitnius Lasa. The Mishnah wasn't clear what exactly the impurities consist of, says Rav Ketina. He brings a brisa that it refers to the impurity of legumes. It was very shchiach to have legumes, kitnias, growing amongst grain. And in fact, for that reason, the minig Ashkenaz is that on Pesach, one does not consume kitnias because they grew together with wheat. And therefore, this was an acceptable thing. And the shear the Mishnah gave was a quarter of a kav of legumes to a saw. Is medayik the Gemara va'afruris loy? Are you telling me that if the impurities were not from kitnias, but rather they consisted of pebbles or soil, then nothing is acceptable? It must be then 100% grain? Va'amar rabba bar chia ketusva mishmei de rabba. This Mandi Omar said, in the name of Rabba, he came from the place called Ketusva, he said in the name of Rabba that we see that pebbles have a halacha of grain. If someone was Boirer Tzror Migronish HaChaveroi, he sifted out and he picked out the pebbles from the granary of his friend, and he has now separated the good grain from the impurities from the pebbles and the sand within the grain. Nois en loy, as we turn to Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, Nois en loy, Demei Chitin. He, as the Rashbam will explain, that he was mazikim by taking out these pebbles, since the halacha allows the moicher to sell a saw of grain together with the pebbles, by the person now removing the pebbles from the chitin, the moicher will no longer be able to include them in the sale to someone else. If he had a saw and of chitin, and now the this person took out a roiva hakav, he will have to make up that roiva hakav with wheat when he sells the saw. So to him, that roiva hakav was worth money, and by removing it, the person who did that caused the moicher a damage. And the Rashbam points out, well, what's the damage? Just put the tzror, put the pebbles, put the sand back into the chitin. That we can't do, as the Rashbam says on the third line, loisasa ovel. There's halach in the Torah, you can't do an injustice. The loikeyach, as the Rashbam explains, accepts upon himself when there are impurities in the grain naturally. Not that the moicher put it there, then he accepts it. But now, once it's been separated, the moicher can't take the tzroiris and put it back into the grain. That would be an avla. That the lekeach doesn't accept. So the person who separated the grain from the pebbles has caused a damage to the moicher, and he has to reimburse him for that. So we see clearly, the kasha on Rabbi Bar Chiya is, that we see clearly from this halacha that the pebbles have a din of wheat, that there's an acceptable amount of pebbles in wheat itself. You told me that the only thing that's acceptable is a quarter of a kav of legumes of kidneys, when in fact we see that this is also acceptable. Pebbles and sand are also acceptable. Answers the Gemara, of course they're acceptable, but not to the same shear, not the same amount as by kitnius. Kitnius roiva, by kitnius the shear is a quarter of a kav, and afruris pachas mi roiva. All that Rabba Bar Chiya was saying is it doesn't have the same shear. The amount of acceptability on the behalf of the lekeach is not the same when you're speaking about pebbles and sand. There, the shear is less than a roiva. Ask the Gemara of Afruris Roiva Loi. Are you telling me that for pebbles, the shear is less than a Roiva Kav, and a Roiva Kav is not the shear? I'll bring you a brisa that seems to indicate that that it is the shear. Roiva Kav is for Afruris also, not just legumes. Vatani, we learned in a brisa, Amar Chaperes Chaver, if somebody sells grain to his friend, so if it's chit and if it's wheat, Mekabel Olav Dolikeach accepts upon himself Roiva Kitnias Lasa, as we learned in our Mishnah, and the way Rabba Bar Chiya explained it, that we're speaking about legumes, so a quarter of a kav of legumes to a saw is acceptable, and the moicher doesn't have to reimburse Dolikeach for that Roiva Kav of Kitnias. What happens if he sold him sorrel and barley, Mekabel Olav Roiva Nesivois Lasa? Then what he has accepted upon himself is a quarter of a kav of nishoives. And nishoives refers to the wind blowing the straw, and it's very hard to remove the straw from the barley. In fact, the Ritva's girsa here is not, as we have it, nishoives, but rather it is with a pei. Nishoifes, from the word that we say in davening, in the Oz Yashir, Nashafta Bruchacha, again, referring to the wind that is blowing the straw into the barley. So that's also acceptable. Straw, a quarter of a kav, in a saw of barley. Adashim, when we're speaking about Adashim, lentils, Makabal Olav, Roiva Afruris Lasa. Then he's Makabal on himself, the Lekeach, a quarter of a kav of soil for a saw. So the Gemara thought that even though we gave different examples here, we gave by wheat an example of legumes, kidneys. We gave by straw an example of, barley, we gave an example of straw. And by adashim lentils, we gave an example of afroiris. But actually, afroiris is the same halacha by chitim and tzarim also. As the Rishbam explains, we're just giving by each case what is shchiach. So usually you have straw by barley, you have kidneys by wheat, and you have afroiris by adashim. But einichalami, if you had afroiris by chitim and tzarim, would be the same halacha, as the Gemara says now. My love, hu adin lechitim l'sarim. If you had a roiv kava afruris by chitim, it would be the same halacha. So lechar, it's kasha on Rav Brachia. Rav Brachia says that a quarter of a kav is only a halacha by kitnius for chitim, and here lechar we see that roiv kav is even for afruris by chitim. And Rav Brachia said no, it's less than roiv kav. Answers the Gemara, from here is no kasha on Rabba Bar Chiya. Why? Because shiny adoshim, lentils are different, dimi akar akrilu, because we don't cut them off from the ground, but rather they're ripped out of the ground. And since they're ripped out of the ground, automatically it's going to come with more dirt, with more earth, and that's why by adoshim, that's the only place where a fruris is a roiva. By chitim asar, which we cut off from the ground, then Rav Acha, Rabba Bar Chiya is correct that it's going to be less than roiva kav. Over here, where we say roiva kav for afruris, that's only by adoshim, which is ripped out of the ground. So it's not like you thought that the din of roiva kav afruris will apply to chitim asar as well. No, it's bedafka. By adoshim, by chitim asarim, will have to be, the acceptable level will have to be less than a roiv akav, because it's not ripped out of the ground, they are cut off from the ground, so the lekeach doesn't expect to receive so much dirt, and therefore it has to be less than roiv akav. So the Gemara says, well, now that you explained that, maybe we should bring a raya to the sheet of Rabba Bar Chiya concerning chitim asarim. El atayma d'adoshim. The only reason roiv akav of afurus is acceptable, that's by lentils. The mi'akar akrilu, as you explained, because you ripped it out of the ground. Aval chitu sar loy. But enechanami by chitu masar, which you don't rip out, you cut it off, then enechanami, l'chayr, this will be a raya to Rav Ruchia, that'll have to be less than a roiv akav. Tivshit mino, chitu sar, da afurus, loy mekabel, that l'kech is not mekabel a roiv akav by chitu masar of afurus. The Gemara says, from this brisa, you don't have a kasha on Rabba Bar Chiya, but neither do you have a raya. Because really, I can tell you, lo'ilam chitim asarim mekabel afruris. Really, by chitim asarim, perhaps also the lekech would be mekabel a roiv akav of afruris, and not like Rabba Bar Chiya. But if so, why didn't we say, as the Rashbam explains, why didn't we say the halacha of Roiva kav by chitim asarim, and then kavachomer, a roiva kav would be acceptable by the adoshim, the lentils, because there you rip it out. The answer is no. We had to say the halacha by adoshim, adoshim mitzruchalei. The salkadatkim and I would have thought, kivin demiakar akrilu, since you're ripping it and you're not cutting it off the ground, yaisim roiva namim lekabel. Maybe the lekech is also mekabel. By adoshim, by lentils, more than roiva kav. Kamash malon, he teaches you that even by adoshim, the acceptable level is only a roiva kav. So it could be the chitim asarim, it's also a roiva kav, and not like Rav Brachia. There's no raya. Why didn't we say a chitim asarim? Because you want to teach you a chiddush by lentils, that even lentils, which you rip out, it's not more than a kav, it's only a kav. But it could be that that halach of roiva kav is by chitim asarim and by adashim. So it comes out that the sheet of Rav Brachia is that by chitim asarim, there's a difference between kitnius, which is roiva kav, our Mishnah, and afruris, which will be less than roiva kav. Adoshim, which you rip out, there we have the brisa that says that it's roiva kav. And from the brisa, we have no kashan, we have no raya, what will be by afruris, by chitim asarim? But the shita of Rav Rachia is that there it will have to be less than roiva kav. Now, there's a very important Rashbam here, which discusses the concepts of grama and garmi, and I think it's important that we learn it, most of the Rashbam, together, because he tells us very important yesoidus in this halach of grama garmi. What the first Rashbam on the Amud is going on is the first words on the Amud, noisen loy demei chitin. We learned the halacha that if somebody selects from chitim, he takes out the pebbles, so he has to reimburse the moicher, the owner, the baal of those chitim, he has to reimburse him as if these pebbles were chitim. And the question is, why does he have to do that? The pebbles themselves are not chitim. So it's only like grama. We know a rule, grama benazak and potter. So why would he have a din that he's mechuyev to pay him? Let's learn the Rashbam together inside quickly. Shaharei, says the Rashbam, hivchisu b'mida. He caused him a damage. The iu have a mazmulei imachitin. He would have sold the pebbles with the chitin. Dafurus makabel lekeach. As we learned, lekeach is makabel the roiva v'kava v'afurus. Avol, or less than roiva kava kor, but he's makabel something. Let it be less than Rav Akav according to Rav Barachia. Avol, so the Rashbam is now asking that question. Why doesn't he just, the Moicher, take the pebbles and put them back in? Avalachshul Arvein Yochel. He's not able to. Dahashta Oysa Avlo Biyadayim. Now he's doing a terrible thing, an injustice with his hands. And the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yates, Loisasa Avol. The gam lekeich lemochel. The lekeich is only moichel elamashin sarv meatzma yematua balkorchach shom moicher. Something that happened naturally against the will of the moicher. Ukishaboyer atzor mashal chutz hizik biyodaim hu shoyisin shoris hoyu leishavin kamechitim. So the Rashbam first says that he's being mamish amazik because it, to the moicher, to the owner of the chitim, the tsroros, the pebbles and sand that's mixed in, to him that's worth like chitim. It's as if he had a full saw of chitim here, even with the impurities mixed in. Because halacha allows him to sell those impurities as chitim. Then the Rashbam says, Ve'ina mi loicha shivilei hezek gomer, even if you're going to tell me that it's not really a hezek of wheat. We call him Malcolm Hang Gufim Ainum Shavim Klum. The pebbles themselves are not worth wheat. They're pebbles. They're worth almost nothing. But L'chayev Miyam Mishum Dina de Garmi. So Rashbam says that he'll be chayev here because of Garmi. What's an example of Garmi? Somebody who burns a star of his friend. His friend could have used this piece of paper to collect a large sum of money. But now that it's burned, he's unable to collect that money. He has no proof that the loiva owes him the money. So that has a loch of garmi, and the person who burnt it is not just chayef for a piece of paper, he's chayef for what was written in that shtar. V'hamekadish bekerim v'azareya klayim besod chaveroi. Or a person who plants klayim. He planted a different type of plant next to another one, which made it klayim. So what did he do wrong? He's planting barley next to wheat. What did he do wrong? He shaita kogozule miyad memoinai. Right away, he is stealing by doing these acts of burning the shtar of his friend or by planting klayim. He is immediately stealing money from his friend. Afa pishen a nicker, even though you don't see any damage. Do paskin hilchas above a kama k'Rav Meir the doin dina de garmi, because we paskin like Rav Meir who dons garmi. And now let's skip down a few lines to where he speaks about grama. Ugrama mitizok in the kamelon de potter hainu kugon shaleich zaber biat cherushayt v'katan. If you send a fire in the hands of a cherushayt v'katan shahezik nicker, you could see the hezik. The fire is going to burn down the neighbor's field. Aval eino oisa oisa biyadayim. But the mishaleach is not doing it with his own hands. Ela goyrim achshav sheyovei hezek v'meil achazman. He's causing now that the hezek is going to come after some time. Aval dina de garmi biyadayim hu mazik. The difference between grama and garmi is that with garmi you're doing it with your hands. Ela sheina hezek nicker. The hezek is not recognizable. So according to the Rashbam, the chilek between grum and garmi is that garmi is a not recognizable hezek, but you're immediately affecting, with your own hands, immediately causing damage. Like our case over here, you're taking out the pebbles. So what's the damage here? You took out pebbles. But that means that the moicher now will not be able to sell a full saw with the impurities. So these impurities to him was worth as if it was real chitim. However, grama is like the case of sending a fire, b'yadcher shaytev katan, where the hezek is nicker, but you're not doing it immediately with your own hands. You're giving it over to the cher shaytev katan. It's something that the Rashbam says, sheyovi hezek memeila la'achar zman. That is what is called grama. So grama ben hazakin's potter, and garmi, we hold like Rameir, the doin din of the garmi, that's chayv. The rush in bava kama daf tzadik ches, is similar to the Rashbam. He adds a little more, and according to the Rush, there are three criteria for Garmi. He adds the words Bori Hezeka. It is a certain Hezek. Secondly, you're doing a Maisa in the Guf Hamomen. And thirdly, it's a Hezek Bishas Maisa Miyad, immediately. But if you're Sholech Sabir Biat Cher Shoyt V'Katan, you're not doing the Maisa. The Cher Shoyt V'Katan is doing it. It's only La'achar Zman. And it's not Bori Hezeka. We're not sure that it's going to cause a fire. It probably will, but it's not 100% sure. That's Grumma. Now, it's interesting. This inyan of Grumma and Garmi is a vast sugya with many shitas rishonim. The Mechaber and Choshe Mishpat Simon Shin Pei Vav heads that simon with the following words. Chiluk Shben Grumma Ben Izakin Ladina de Garmi. That's the subject matter of Choshe Mishpat Siman Shin Pei Vav, to differentiate between Grama, which is Potter, and Garmi, which is Chayiv. The Shach over there in Sifkat Nalef brings the Ramban, who the Shach says is Maruch Ma'od, Bedine de Garmi, Besoif Chidushe Bava Basra Shaloi. At the end of Bava Basra, the Ramban has a whole kuntris on Dinu de Garmi, and the Ramban Shita is that it's a Dinda Raisa. And therefore, as the Shach quotes, even if you did it b'shoigig, and even if a person is nifter, his son would have to pay for the damage that his father caused through Garmi. According to the Ramban, he's chayiv because of Adam Hamazik. And that's why it's even b'shoigig, and even the son will have to pay for the father. But the Shach brings the shita of the Ritzbah, that's spelled Reish Yud Sadik Beis Aleph, which we had before in Perik Lo Yachbor, in this Masechta, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, Divri Amaschel, Zois Emeritz, Grama Ben Izak and Aser, the last Tosis on Chav Beis Amid Beis, and there the Ritzbah says that Garmi is only a Knas de Rabbonin, since Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Bezdin can decide when they want to make a Knas, so therefore, they made it in certain cases. According to Ritzbah, there is no nafgemina. There is no classical nafgemina between Grum and Garmi. So his son would not have to pay if we learn it's only a knas rabbanan. And Shoigeg, the Ritzbah, says, three lines from the bottom there of the Amud, Efshir b'shoigeg namikonis. It's possible the Rabbanan made the knas even b'shoigeg, but he leaves open the possibility that maybe they did not. And as it's not a clear thing. If it's like the Ramban, it's a derais, it's adam amazik, so then it's even b'shoigeg, adam mud loylam. But here, if it's a knas, the Ritzbah is not clear. Possibly he's potter. Maybe he's chayiv. But there's a possibility he's potter. The Shach in that simon, Shin Pei Vav, at the end of Sifkot and Chavdalid, says, V'oysen sh'yanir lam l'chachme hashas, sh'hu sh'chiach v'rogel lovoy konsu, v'ha havu d'loy loysev aloh, v'ein lach alamasher amruhem kenir li. So the Shach says that there's no difference Gram and Garmi. When did the Chachamim classify something as Garmi? When they saw it was a very prevalent thing and they felt that they have to institute a halacha that you're chayiv in those cases for Garmi. But let's say somebody, a Bezdin, wants to come along and make their own hoysofa to what Chazal did, says the Shach, we don't do that. Only what we see beferish in the Gemara that Chazal called Garmi chayiv, those are the cases that you're chayiv. It's interesting that Rafishal Shachter Shlita, Rosh Hashiva and Tarvadas, says over from his Rebbe, Hagoyin Rebbe Elia Chazan Zitzal, that Rebbe Elia Chazan says there's so many shitas and details of these various shitas or rishonim, what is called gurama, what is called garmi, that if we were to present a person with a shaila and ask him, tell me, is this what Chazal called gurama, or is this what Chazal called garmi? Because of the complexity and the details of this sugya, we would be unable to do it. So Ein Echanami, the Shach, says that he wanted to write a whole chibur against the Ramban, because he paskins like the Ritzvah, and he says, I didn't write it because basically what it comes boils down to is that the Ramban feels it's the Raisa. Memela, the Ramban and the Rosh and the Rashbam here had to make chalukim between Garmi, that's Chayiv, and Grom ibn Azakin, that's Potter. But the Shach says, I'm saying a simple thing. I hold that, and he brings Rayas there in Chosh Mishpat, he never wrote that Kuntras against the Ramban, but in Chosh Mishpat he has pages and pages proving that it's only a din d'rabbanan. And once you say it's d'rabbanan, ain't a chanami. There are no chalukim between Grom and Garmi according to the Shach. And rather, it was only when something was very shchiach, that's when the Chacham came out and said that the person is chayv because of Garmi. When it was not shchiach, they said, for the same type of case, no difference, but it's not shchiach, there it remains Grom ibn Azakin potter. Before we move on to the next piece of Gemara, we should discuss the top Tosfos on our Amud Divrei Maschil Noisin Loi Dmei Chitin, where Tosfos brings into our sugya the inyan of Dover Hagoyrim Lamamin, if it has halacha kemamin or not. This is the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. The case that Tosfos quotes is from Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, where someone stole chametz va'over alav haPesach. And now the chametz has no value because it cannot be used. It's chametz over lava pesach. And somebody else came and burnt that chametz. Now, this chametz could have been used by the gazlan to return to the nigzal. The halacha is that he can say to the nigzal, harei shalach lefanecha, even after Pesach and even when it's not worth anything. So now, when the other person came and burnt this chametz, Reb Shimon says it's Davar Hagoyrim Lamamin and Kemamin Dami. Since this chametz has value to the gazlan because he can use it as a repayment to the nigzal, therefore the one who burnt it is burning something that is equal to money, and it's as if he destroyed actual money. However, the Chachamim say that Davar Hagoyrim Lamamin is not Kemamin Dami. So Tosfos says that L'chayra our halacha here, where the Baal of the Chitin is reimbursed by the person who separated the pebbles out of the grain, he is being mazikim, l'chayra, that will be tali in the machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chacham. According to Reb Shimon, who says, davar garm l'mamen, so this will be kemamen dami, and that's why he has to reimburse him. But the Tosfos is raising the issue that l'chayra, according to the Chachamim, who hold that davar garm l'mamen is lav kemamen dami, then he will not have to pay him for the pebbles, because the pebbles are only a garm l'mamen. They're not actual money. They're not worth anything in and of themselves. So l'chayra, according to the Chachamim, they would disagree with the Salacha. But then Tosfos concludes, and the Re says, that even the Chachamim would agree here. Because only in the case of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, where it's only worth something to the gazlan himself. That's the only person who it's worth anything. Because he can return it to the nigzal. But it has no value to anybody else. It's also to use Chametz Shavuot of Pesach. So there, it's telling the Machlokes from Shimon the Chachamim. However, in our case, where the halacha allows the moicher to include in every saw of chitin a certain amount of tsroiris, so then that tsroiris is not considered davar hagoyrim lamamin, which the chachamim would hold. It doesn't have a din of mamin, but rather the tsroiris are considered like mamin itself. The tsroiris are chitin. Since the halacha dictates that they can be included legally in the saw of chitin, then they have a halacha of chitin. They're not a goyrim lamamin, but rather their mamin itself, which even the chachamim would hold that there is a chiv, as we saw in the Rashbam, midina de garmi, or because of mazik mamish, that the person who separated would have to pay for the value of the tsroiris, and looking at the tsroiris as if they were chitin and mamin mamish. We go back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, In Ba Lenafois, if the Lekeach suspects, the way the Rashbam explains it here, that perhaps there are more impurities here than Menape Eskuloi, then he can go through the entire saw, and if he discovers that his suspicion was correct, that there's more than a kav, a roiva hakav, let's say, of kitnius per saw, then he can go to the moicher and say, you have to reimburse me either wheat, I want 100% wheat, or I want you to pay me what I found is impure. And then the moicher has no right, as the Rashbam explains, to say, well, I'll give you everything except a quarter of a kav, because a quarter of a kav per saw, you accept it. No. Once the person checked it through and sifted it and saw that it contains more than a roiva kav of impurities, then in fact the moicher has to reimburse him either wheat or money equal to the total amount of the impurities. And on this, the Gemara says, Amru la sam se dina, that's miyakara din. But Amru la knasan say, in a miyakara din, the lekeach would not be entitled to such a refund of everything. But it's a knas derabon. And now the Gemara is going to explain each of these shitas. And we'll see at the end, what is the nafgamina, whether you hold it dina or knasa. Amri la dina, some say that it's a din, miyakara din. Why? Because mandi yov zuzi apirish apiri yov. The lekeach who's giving money, he wants the best fruit. So if it looks like the regular impurities are mixed in, so it's not worth it to the lekeach to sift through and get out the roiva. The moicher says to him, listen, I gave you good pears. If you think there's something wrong, either sift through and show it to me, or bring me another raya, as the Rashbam explains, that there's more than a roiva kav, and then I'll reimburse you. But so if the lekeach thinks there's not more than roiva kav, that all there is a roiva, it's not worth it to him what he's going to get back for the tircha that's involved. So therefore he's moichel. However, if it looks like there's more than a roiva kav and he sifts it through, yoisim a roiva torach inish, more than a roiva person is matriach, that's already worth it to him to sift through. V'kivin de torach, torach bekula. And once he's already sifting through, then even when he gets to the final roiva kav, he doesn't stop there. It's not hard for him, as the Rashbam explains, to finish the whole job. So now, as the Rashbam explains, if you look at it this way, the lekeach really is not moichel on anything, except when it's less, when it's a roiva kav or less, so then it's not worth it for him to sift through. But once it's more than roiva kav, then it is worth it for him, and then it's even worth it for him to go to the end, to the last roiva kav. And the mail it a moicher is mechuyev to reimburse him the whole amount. So that's me ikara did. But ve'amr lo knas, as some say it's only knas to rabbanon. Why? Roiva shchiach. Really, we look at it the other way. That the lekeach realizes that he's never going to get pure 100% grain. It's always going to have impurities mixed in. So really, he on his own would be moichel even if it turns out to be more than roiva kav. It was the Chachamim who were trying to help him. As the Gemara now explains, a roiva is shchiach, that's normal. But yoiser more than a roiva is loy shchiach, that's not a normal thing. So then, once it's not normal, then the Chachamim said, hey, wait a minute. If there's more than a roiva kav here, which is not the usual amount, then we suspect that maybe even the up to the roiva kav was also Iyu Hudarev, it's the moicher who filled the grain with impurities. Maybe even did the beginning roiva as well. The kivin darev, and since we're chayshish, that maybe he mixed it in. Kansu rabbanim bekulei, rabbanim kansedim, and he has to now pay to the lekeach everything. Says the Rashbam, what's the nafkamina between dina or knasa? The nafkamina will be if we know for sure that the moicher never mixed anything in. We have ways to know for sure that he never mixed anything in. So if it's mi ikara din, so then the lekeach is entitled to the whole refund, including the roiva kav. But if it's only al knas, here if we knew for sure that he didn't mix it in, we wouldn't kansen the moicher, and therefore the moicher would only have to reimburse the lekeach what is more than a roiva. But on up to a roiva, he could say that you were moichel, and I, the Bezdin knows that I didn't mix anything in, so I don't get a knas, and I only have to reimburse you for what's more than roiva hakav. This is the Shita of the Rashbam. However, the Shita Mekibetzes brings down that the Rambam does not make this chilek, and therefore the Shita says that it seems that the Rambam held that the nafkamina of the Rashbam is not a nafkamina, that whether you hold knas or whether you hold din, the halacha will be they'll have to pay the entire amount. So what nafkamina is there? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says a nafkamina will be if it's in bavel, because we know where we're not done dinei knas be bavel. So according, if you hold me'ikara din, so then we've done it in bavel. But if it's only a knas, we don't make this knas in bavel. The Ran says another nafkamina could be if you compare any other din to this din. If it's a din, then you can compare another halacha similar to this din. But if it's only a knas, then we don't make up our own knasses, only what Chazal themselves made the knas, and therefore we would not compare another din to here. We now give a mnemonic of six Mishnayos and Brises, which are going to be a kasha on the psak that we just had from Rav Huna, that if he found there to be more than Roi Vakav, he receives the entire reimbursement for everything, even up to the Roi Vakav. And the simon is, Kol Trey Story, the Raven Bar Rav Nachman, Oino, the Kabbalah Nusa. And now we're going to explain each of these six rayas and kashas from Mishnayos and Brises. Continues the Gemara, Meisvei. The first question that we're going to ask on Rav Huna is from a Mishnah in Klayim, Perig Bey's Mishnah Aleph, a brief Hagdama. Midar Raisa, it is usher to plant various seeds together, such as barley and wheat, and even one kernel would be prohibited to make a mixture. However, this mission is speaking about where there was other grains inadvertently mixed into the wheat, and the person is obligated to separate the other grain. If it crosses a threshold, under that threshold, under the red line, it's considered a normal part of a mixture that seeds get mixed together, and he doesn't have to separate them. But when he gets over that threshold that we're going to learn in a moment, then he is mechuyev to separate it. Says the Mishnah, Kol saw sheyesh bo roiva mimin acher, a saw of grain that has within it a quarter of a kav from another type, yamait, he has to reduce it. In other words, a roiva kav to a saw is a ratio of 1/24. So if it has 1/24 of a mixture, even though it was inadvertent, the person is mechuyev to memayit it. When is he memayit it? This is a machloikus rishonim. The Rashbam brings down that bepashtus here we are speaking about before he seeds. That's the pshat of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Or, says the Rashbam, it could be even after seeding, however, it's speaking about before Hashrasha. So he's able to salvage the situation by being memayit, by removing those seeds that shouldn't be here, the miyut seeds. He should take them away. Remove them from the ground before Hashrasha. However, says the Rashbam, if it's speaking about after Hashrasha, then it's too late, then there's nothing that he could do. On this, Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Yom Divrei Maskil, saw Sheish Baroiv Yumayit, brings the Rashbam's Pshat, and Tosfos disagrees and says that the Rashbam made a mistake, that this is only a halacha by Klaya Karim, that once it's Mushrash, once it has taken root, there's nothing that can be done. However, by here, where we are speaking about klayim of zera, of seeds, the barley and the wheat, here, even after Hashrasha, one would be able to remove it. So according to each of the Rishonim's pshat, the Mishnah said, Yemayit, Savrua, the ones who were trying to bring this as a kasha against Rav Huna were of the opinion, the roiva de klayim ki yosum roiva de hacha, that the quarter of a kav of a saw concerning the halach of klayim is the same as more than a roiva kav nageya our halacha over here of a mechira where one has impurities to nifus mixed in to the item that is being sold. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to say is that the ones who were bringing the kasha on Rav Huna thought that the red line, the threshold for Klayim, is different than the threshold in our sugya. In our sugya, the red line is Roivakav. And once you've gone more than Roivakav, you run into problems, because that Likeach is not Moichel, and a refund is necessary on the part of the Moicher. By Klayim, the red line is less than a Roiva. Once you've come to Roivakav, you've already gone over the red line. That's what the Gemara says. Savrua de Roiva de Klayim. There you've already passed the red line, because the red line was right under the Roiva. So Roiva de Klayim, where you've passed the red line, that's Kiyosim or Roiva Dacha. That's like more than a Roiva concerning the halacha of Tanaifis. Vikotani, and what did the Mishnah and Klayim say one should do when one crosses over the red line? All you need to do is Yamayit. You reduce it until you get to less than a Roiva, until you have not crossed the red line anymore. So the way the Rashba and the Ritva learned the Kasha here, very simply, that the Gemara is not going into what we learned before, the two Shitas, whether it's Rav Huna's din is based on din, or whether Rav Huna is based on knas, but rather we're asking a simple, straightforward kasha on Rav Huna. You, Rav Huna, said that once we cross over the line when it comes to Tanaifas, which means we've gone to more than Roivakav, the halacha is that when the Lekeach is filtering out the psoilus, the sand and the pebbles from, or the legumes from the mixture, so the halach is that the moicher has to reimburse him for everything. And here you see by the halach of Klayim, when the person is up to Roiva, which we explained is going over the red line, all you have to do is go back and reduce it until you're under you're back under the red line. Why don't we say, according to Rav Huna, by Klayim, the halacha should be that once he's removing, you should remove everything? We don't say that. So that's the simple kasha according to the Rashba and the Ritva. However, the Rashbam learns that the kasha is on one of the two shitas before in Rav Huna, specifically on Dina. What was the logic that we said by Dina? That really, a loikeach is not moichel on anything, except if all there is of impurities is a quarter of a kav, so that is not worth it for him to sift through and see exactly how much it is and show the moicher that there is impurities. So reluctantly, he gives in and he says, okay, I'll accept that. Once you've gone, and by the way, the Rashbam speaks out that if someone were to say, I want to check even less than Roivakav, and whatever I find, you have to reimburse me, on that we say, Batla Daita Yetzel Kol Adam. The normal activity of a Mechira is that a quarter of a Kav is acceptable, and therefore you have no right to sift it out and have the Moicher pay you for it. You have to accept what the normal activity in business is. A quarter of a Kav is acceptable. However, once you've gone over a quarter of a kav, so now it's already worth it for the lekeach to inspect it and to sift it out. And the Rashbam says that once you're sifting it out already, and you come down to the threshold of a quarter of a kav, you'll go all the way. It's not such a big tircha for you to finish off the job. On that, the Gemara is asking from Klayim. And the Gemara is asking that Klayim, which is an Isser Chomer and Isser Deraisa, where the Rabbanan have no jurisdiction over, yet we see that all that is required is, if you've gone over the red line, Yemayet, reduce it, and come under the red line, the red line, the Gemara thought, by Klayim, is the Roivakav, 124, you need to go back. The red line is under the Roivakav, a little under the Roivakav. When you're up to Rav Avkav, you've gone over the red line. What you need to do now is go back and up till the red line, you might. So if you say by klayim, which is an issur d'oraisa, that all you need to do is no longer go over the red line, but go back that you're up to the red line and not over it, so certainly here by mekach u'memkar, where it's a dine mominis, where we have halach of hefker bezn hefker, so for sure the rabbonin have a koyach to tell the lekeach, okay, you're sifting out and you found more than the threshold, so the moich has to pay you for more than the threshold, which by tenifus is roiva kav. But once you get to the roiva kav, then you're back to the comfort level where a lekeach is moichel. If we say it by klayim, we should, for sure should say it by dine mominis. That's the kasha according to the Rashbam on the sheet in Rav Huna of dina. Answers the Gemara, loy, you made a mistake, a fundamental mistake. Roiva de klayim, ki roiva de hachadami. There's no different red line for klayim than that of tenifus. It's the same red line. By both, the red line is a roiva kav, just like by tenifus, when does one go over the red line? When one is over a roiva kav, so too by klayim, when do you go over the red line? When you're over a roiva kav. But when you're at roiva kav, you have not yet crossed the red line. And that's why the halach is yamayit. Eina chenami, if you would by klayim cross the red line to more than roiva kav, now you're getting into the Isser Daraisa territory. Of course, then, once you're Memayet, the way Rav Huna says, you'll have to go all the way. You'll have to clean it out entirely. But here we're not speaking about that he crossed the red line. Because the red line by Klim is the identical red line like by Tenifus, by Mechira, which is Roy Vakav. Ask the Gemori Hachi, if that's the Pshat, so Amay Yamayet, why does he have to Memayet anything by Klim? He hasn't gone over the red line. At the point that he is right now, 124, that's normal to have, and that's not called Klayim. So why does he have to be Memayet at all? Answers the Gemara, no. Mishum Chumra de Klayim. Since we're dealing about such a Chumra de Keisr as Klayim, so the Rabbanan required that we're not comfortable with you being mamish at the red line. We want you to even go less than the red line. The red line is Roivakav. Going more than Roivakav is going over the red line. But we, Midrabbanan, we want you at the red line to go under the red line because we're nervous about you going over the red line. That's why we're insisting you might, but we're not requiring you, even according to Rav Huna, to go all the way and clean out everything. All we ask you is to get off the red line and get under the red line. Ask the Gemara Yehachi, if so, as we turn to Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. Aim the Sefer. Tell me the Sefer. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Yivar. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanna Kamma in the Mishnah and Climate, says that you have to remove everything. So, E Amrat Bishalayim Aki Yaisim Arayva Tanaifis Dami, if you're going to say like our Hava Minah, that the red line for climb is different than the red line for tenifus. The red line for tenifus is roivakav. Yosemi roiva is going over the red line. And by climb, our havamina was that it's different than tenifus, and the red line is under roiva. Once you're at roiva, you've already gone over the red line. So if you say like that, havamina, so then I understand very well the machloek between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Bahal kamiflikli, Tanakama sovra loy kansina natera atu yisura. The Tanakama holds that ain't a chanami, you have to be memayit. Once you're at roiva kav by klayim, which means you've gone over the red line according to the havamina, so you have to be memayit and get under a roiva kav. But we don't force you to go all the way and clean out everything, because the rest is considered, when it's inadvertently there and it wasn't planted on purpose, it's considered hetera. So all you have to do, says the Tanna Kamma, is get rid of the Isura. You're at Roiva Hakav, which is Isser territory, get back under Roy Vakav, Bima Mayit, and now you're back into Heter territory. V'Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi holds, no, can't see it. Once you've reached Isser territory, then, and you have to already clean out the Isser territory, which is in the Havamina Roy Vakav, then you have to go all the way and clean out everything. Yivor, you have to remove everything. So then I understand very well the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama, Eli Yamik Karoy Vadami. But if you're going to say, like we answered in the Maskana, that the same criterion that you have for Klayim is the same as Tanifus, that when have you crossed the red line, that's by more than Roy Vakav. But when you're at Roy Vakav, you're at the red line. You haven't crossed it. So then we don't understand Rabbi Yossi. Am I Yivor? Why should the halacha be? It's already a chumra. You're really doing nothing wrong. You're in heter territory. You're at the red line, but the red line itself is considered heter. So we're making you be memayet, and as Rashbam explains, you're going to make a chumra on a chumra, that you have to go all the way and clean out everything. To begin with, it's a chumra that you have to get under the red line, which is the red line itself is heter, and yet we're forcing you to go under the red line. You might, but why go all the way? What's the svar of the of Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara answers, no, hasamayna time to Rabbi Yossi, even if we'll say like in the Maskana, that the criterion, the red line for climb is exactly identical to Tanifus. The reason that Rabbi Yossi says you have to go all the way, Mishum demechse kimekayim klayim. Once people see you getting down on your hands and knees and taking out the zera from the karka, so they understand that you're removing klayim. And then they see that you leave some of it. So as the Rashbam brings down, there's psukim in Taurus Kanim that tell us that being Mekayim Klaim, if a person has Klaim and he doesn't remove it, that itself is an Isser. So even though over here it was inadvertently mixed together, and if it's 1/24th, it's Batel, but once they see you removing something, then whatever is left looks to people as if you're being Mekayim Klaim, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says, once you're started to remove over the red line, you have to remove everything. This is the way we have the girsa here. There is a difficulty in the lashon of kansinin, because as we mentioned, according to the Rashbam, the Gemara's whole shakla v'tarya here was on the shita in Rav Huna of Dina, and all of a sudden the Gemara brings here the kansinin. And if you look, in fact, in the Rashbam, in the second line on top, he says, "Iyamet bishlam adarayved aklam ki yesem arayved tonayif v'stami v'hai yimait min hadinu hainu da'asa Rabbi Yossi l'meimer yivra akol v'sfir le'kirav hunna." We, according to our Havamina, it would work out very good, like Rav Huna. But you see that the Rashbam stresses, according to his shita, the word dina. So how do we have the word kansinin here? So, there are those who say that there's a faulty text here, and they take out the word katsinan. However, the Rashbam says that there are svarim that when we turn to Amid Beis and said, Eima Sefer Rabbi Yossi, Oimer Yivor, it was Toshma Mi Sefer. And it was coming to bring a raya to Rav Huna. And this will follow the same pattern that we're going to see in the next two Toshimas, where we bring Mishnayis and Brises, which on the one hand we try to bring a Kasha on Rav Huna, and on the other hand we try to bring a Raya to Rav Huna. So it'll be the same with this Mishnah and Klayim, where from the Tanakhama we're trying to ask a Kasha on Rav Huna, and from the Sefer, from Rabbi Yossi, we're trying to bring a Raya to Rav Huna. And then, Einach Nami, perhaps we can leave in the word Kansinin, because the Gemara says, Toshima from Rabbi Yossi, that we understand what the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama is, whether you're kansinin or not. And l'chaira Rabbi Yossi will hold kansinin, like Rav Huna Shita, that you make a knas on everything. Continues the Gemara with another raya Toshima. Shnayim shifki du'etz lecha. Two people that gave money to one person. Zem, one of his emissaries. Reuven gave Levi a mana, 100. Shimon gave Levi 200. And when it came time to get it back from Levi, both said that the 200 belongs to me. And we don't know, Levi doesn't remember who gave him the 200. The halacha is, according to the Tanakhama, he gives each one 100, because that's for sure each one gave him 100, vashar, and the extra 100, it should remain until Elio will come and tell us who is the one who gave the 200. So the Gemara is asking Akasha and Rav Huna. L'chayra, we're giving him a knas. We're giving a knas that the 200 remains with the nifkad until Elio comes. If we're giving a knas, according to Rav Huna, we should give a knas on everything. The same like we do by Tanaifis. So Gemara says, how can you compare one to the other? Hachi hashda. Hosam vade monolamar umonolamar. 100 is legitimate. That we know for sure. Each one was mafkid 100 by the nifkid, by the shaymer. Hacha miyemer delav kuli aruve arv. But here it's possible that the entire taruvis of impurities was put there by the moicher. Once we went over the norm, which is 1/24, a quarter of a kaf to a saw, so we're already chayshish that who put in extra taruvis of impurities? That was the moicher. So we're already worried. Once we suspect him for doing more than the 24th, maybe he even did the 24th itself. So there's no kasha on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says it's only by tenaifus where you have a chash that maybe he did everything, that we make a knas that the moicher has to pay the lekeach everything. However, over there, where we know the first 100 was legitimate, there we don't make a knas. We only make a knas on the second 100, which we don't know who was mafketed by the shomer. Toshima. So from the Reisha, we brought a kasha on Rav Huna, and now from the Sefer, we're going to bring a raya to Rav Huna. Rav Yaisi, he argues on the Tanakhama, Imkain, ma hefsed ramoy. If that's what you're going to do, so what hefsed is there to the ramoy? The cheater has nothing to lose. He'll say, I gave the 200. Really, it was the other one who gave the 200. And you're going to give him back his 100. So what does he have to lose? Ela hakol yei munach hachiyav eliyo. Everything should be munach. He gets nothing back. Everything stays with the nifkad. And that will force the cheater to admit that he wants to at least get his 100 back. He'll say, you know what, I made a lie. And I made a mistake inadvertently, whatever he'll say, but he'll confess that it's not his, and then at least he'll get back his 100. So there's a motivation for him to say the truth. But l'chayra, this will be a raya to Rav Huna, that once you're making a knas, and these kashas and rayas, the Rashbam says, is all according to the tzad in Rav Huna of knas. According to Rashbam, the first raya from Klayim was a kasha from Din, the tzad of Rav Huna of Din. Now we're bringing kashas and rayas from the tzad of Rav Huna of Knas. Here, according to Rabbi Yaisi, we see that once you're consonant, you consonant everything. L'char, it's a raya to Rav Huna. The Gemara says there's no raya either. There's no kasha from the Tanakhama, but there's no raya from Rabbi Yaisi. Hachi Ashna. Hosam vadei ikra moi. Over there, there for sure is one a cheater, because both didn't give 200. All he has is $300. He doesn't have $400. So he for sure got 200 only from one. So there's for sure a cheater. But Hacha, here, although we suspect on the one end that maybe he put all the impurities in, but mi yemer de ruve arif, who says that he put anything in? It could be that even though we have more than the norm, maybe that was all done inadvertently. It was all, the wind blew it in. He didn't have anything to do with it. So the case in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Dalet, of Shnayim Shefkidu Eitzalecha, Zem One of Zem Asayim, has part definite truth and part definite Ramos. The first 100 is definite truth. The second 100, we know that there's a cheater, because both are saying they gave 200. In our case, on the one hand, there's a possibility that everything is sheker, that it was all put in by the Meicher, but there's also a possibility that none of it was put in by the Meicher. So that's why we don't have a raya to Rabbi Yossi from that halacha, and we don't have a kasha on Rabbi Yossi, because our halacha is a different case. It's not half for sure true, and half for sure there's a Ramai, but rather there's a possibility that it's all cheating by the Meicher. There's a possibility that there's no cheating by the Meicher. Toshima, I'll bring you L'chaira, a raya to Rav Huna, from another halacha concerning Hilchus Ribbis. Shtar sheyesh by Ribbis, a shtar that in which was written Ribbis. As the Rashbam says, it was written in Ploini, Lovami Ploini, Mona B'Masayim, Adzman Ploini. That at a certain time, I gave you 100, I want to get back 200, because you're going to have to pay me back Ribbis. As the Rashbam tells us, so right away, the person is over on the lav, the Raisa of Loy to Simon Olav Nashach, that he has put a interest on the loive, so the malviz over toshma shtar sheish by ribis. Koinsin I say the rabbanim made a knas veina goive loyas a karen veloyas a ribis. Not only doesn't he collect the ribis, which is osir, but he doesn't even collect the karen. As divri rab meir, this is rab meir shita. As toisvus in divri amaskel koinsin I say the third tois on the amit tells us that the sheet of the re is that rab meir will give a knas even if the malva isn't dependent solely on the shtar. Let's say the loiva says, I admit that I borrowed from him 100. Or there's other avim that he borrowed 100 besides what's written in the shtar. It doesn't matter, even if you're not dependent on the shtar, but since you were over on the lav of loita simonol of neshech, therefore, not only don't you collect the ribbis, we make a knas, you don't even collect the carrot. So l'chayra, this is a raya to Rav Huna, that once you make a knas, again, we're going with the sheet of Rav Huna of knas, once you make a knas on everything. Hachi hashta, what's the raya, says the Gemara. Hasa mishask siva hu David leishuma. Right when he wrote the shtar, he already is placing interest on the loive, and he's over on loive to siva lov nashech. Hacha, but over here, by the case of Rav Huna, miyemer de ruve orav. Who says that he put in anything? Maybe it all happened minishamayim, it happened by a wind blowing it, and he was totally honest. Again, the case of Ribbis is half honest halva, half an avera of Ribbis. Here, maybe he didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's totally mixed inadvertently without him doing anything, without the Meicher doing anything wrong. So there's no raya from the halacha. Maybe Rav Meir would hold in the case of Rav Huna that we would not give him a total knas that he has to pay the lekeach for all the impurities, because maybe he did nothing wrong. Toshma, Misefa. I'll bring you a kasha on Rav Huna from the Sefa. Rav Meir was a raya. We tried to bring and we slugged up the raya. Now we're going to bring in a kasha and we're going to slug up the kasha. Toshma Misefa, Chomoimrim, Goivis a Karen, Veina Goivis a Ribbis. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir and they hold that when a person wrote a shtar of Ribbis, he is allowed to collect the Karen. He's not allowed to collect the Ribbis. So we see that we don't make a knas on everything. L'char, it's a kashin, Rav Huna. Hachi Hashtag, Gemara says, what's the comparison? Hasam vade karna de teru. The first 100 is heter. In fact, it's a mitzvah. He loaned somebody who needs money desperately. He gave a halva. So that's heter. That's a mitzvah. Therefore, that's why the Chachamim hold that you don't consign him on the first 100, which was a heter, which was a mitzvah. But hacha, in the case of tenaifus, of impurities, miyemer de kule lo yiruve arev, we suspect that not only did he put in more than the Ravakav, perhaps in this case he put even in the Ravakav. We really don't know what happened. It could be he put nothing in, could be he put everything in. So over here it's possible that the Chachamim will agree with Rav Huna, that once we're making a knas, we make a knas not only on more than the Raiva, but even up to the Raiva itself. So on this Mishnah, likewise, there's no kasha on Rav Huna, and there is no raya to Rav Huna.